This is Sava FC with Antonio Scarano, Ben Joyner, and Anthony Valenti.
Welcome, everyone. At the moment, I'm trying to find Anthony and Antonio. I have my tea and biscuits. And I'm also looking for the Italy team. At the moment, I can't see anyone. Has anyone seen them?
Yeah, I found them. They're flying home right now with their heads buried in the sand. You find him, Antonio? Oh, wait, Antonio's not here either.
He's still not here, is he?
Yeah. What do you think about that loss?
I'm quite happy about that loss, actually.
Yeah, I'm not happy.
Do you know what I mean? Makes up for the summer for me.
Are you happy, though? Are you? Now your team will go down as the team who lost the European final to a team who couldn't even qualify for the World Cup. So how does that make you happy?
Well, it looks like we found Antonio. Oh, nice to see you again.
Welcome back.
Let me pass you some tea and biscuits. You can have them in the winter when you watch England in the World
Listen,
Cup.
Listen, Ben, I'm fasting right now because I got to get blood work done in an hour. But even if you gave me biscuits and tea for free for the rest of my life, I wouldn't touch that stuff right now.
I'm in shambles, man. I have a question for you. Would you take winning the Euros and not going to the World Cup?
Two parts. Yes and no. Yes, because someone once said winning the Euros is harder than winning the World Cup.
That was this guy right here.
Yeah.
It was Ben.
And no, because I don't want to hear you break our stones about it for the next 9 months until the World Cup starts.
It's a tough question. And the reason it's a tough question, we in Italy have not been elevating our youth to the level that we should have ever since that 2006 World Cup win. For me, it starts to back then. So where we should have revamped our entire system, we didn't because we just won a World Cup. So there's no need to change, right?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you got countries like Germany, England, everybody else, Spain, revamping France. Their entire youth systems. Understanding that you need your national players to elevate your leagues so that in return, they can elevate your national teams. We didn't do that in Italy.
Nope.
Right? We go to the World Cup after winning it in 06. We fail out twice, right? I don't even think we make it past the group stages.
Right.
Then we miss out on the 2018 Russia World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We needed to win the Euro because our system is so bad that we just needed something. And that Euro win was enough to keep us relevant.
That Euro win, though, is what masked all the problems that led up to this right now. If they didn't win, Mancini could have revamped the team and possibly have qualified for the World Cup.
Yes and no. Because if we had just made it to, let's say, the semifinals of the Euro Cup, right? We were not projected to win the Euros, but it would have been a big accomplishment. And now Italy is back on track after missing the 2018 World Cup, which in turn takes pressure off of the team, the coaching staff. You're not now looking to start the same guys that won you a Euro Cup. Because we had this conversation, right? How does Mancini bench the guys that won him the Euros?
Yeah,
you can't. No. You can't explain that to the people, to the federation, of why you're sitting them. But yesterday against Turkey, a game that meant nothing, who scored? All young guys
right.
who got no playing time and won against Turkey.
Because what did they do? They went out there and they proved to him
mix it up, though,
and everybody
put a few
else
youngsters in there. Keep them keen.
That they deserved to be out there against North Macedonia and they would have brought them to the World Cup.
Well, we don't know that. They still would have always had to play Portugal. Man, Cristiano Ronaldo, did you see what he said yesterday?
No, I didn't see it.
He goes, I don't care about Italy being out. He goes, if we're playing North Macedonia today, it's because they deserve to be here.
And they did deserve to be there.
Did they?
They won.
They won. They played their butts off.
They had one shot, score one goal.
That's it.
How many shots did you have?
32.
32. How many did you score?
None.
Tough, that one. Yeah, have a biscuit.
Yeah. That was a good full circle, man. All right, well, with Italy out now, who do we think is going to win the next World Cup?
Honestly, and I'm not saying this because Ben's sitting next to me, but I think it's England.
You love those tea and biscuits, don't you?
I actually do like shortbread. Yeah, and tea, I do.
And there's tea flying around here as well, so yeah.
This is why you don't invite me over for coffee anymore, Ant. You're always over at Ben's with those tea and biscuits.
Right. I think top to bottom, they're strong. They're injury free. They're a good team.
The only thing I would say, that there's more pressure on them now, though.
Absolutely.
Like, more they're pressure. Expected to go and win it now.
Absolutely.
Like before, they weren't expected to do anything.
Right.
So.
But you also have teams like France, Portugal.
No, Portugal can't. To me, they have no shot of winning it.
Well, Portugal's got a good team. They've got a good four or five core players there. Don't forget Bruno Fernandes. They have Rafael Leão, Cristiano Ronaldo.
They've got a ton of players, yeah.
Yeah, they got some talented players there. Just a matter of them being able to be cohesive and play like England or France.
You got Belgium, they haven't done anything yet.
Right.
For some, they're ranked number one in the world.
And they haven't done anything. Okay, speaking of not doing anything, listen to this crazy stat. Italy played 46 games, or actually 47 after this last game. They only lost two games in those 47 games.
It's not about how many they lost, though.
No.
Finish your stat.
No, not talking about like the qualifying. I'm just saying only two out of 47 games they lost, and they're still not ranked number one in the world. Belgium still, I think, right? Number one?
Well, if anything, you wouldn't rank Italy first overall in the world anyway. You'd have to put Brazil in front of them, right, Ben?
Why?
Why Brazil?
Brazil's
still the only team with five World Cups. So rankings-wise, points-wise.
I think it resets every year.
It resets, yeah.
Are we sure about that?
100%.
It goes by your records of your win and loss record.
I think it's over a two-year span.
Really? Yeah. I was under the impression that past tournament wins count towards that point system.
If that was the case, then Brazil would be in first place, not Belgium.
Yeah.
How many World Cups has Belgium won?
Belgium got more points. Didn't they win the...
Belgium gets points for striker who only touches the ball seven times in a game. They win that all day long with Lukaku.
That's why they're top.
Yeah.
You're talking about Nations League.
Yes.
I didn't know. I don't know if they won Nations League. I know Italy got knocked out.
But I think they got a lot of points for that. They went on a run. But it resets itself. That's why they're top. You might be top next time. I don't think so. Maybe.
No, Italy has a decision to make right now. And I think they need to decide to stay with Mancini. Allow him to continue this project if he's willing, because you're not going to find a better coach than him. And they need to, like I said before, revamp the whole youth system.
Yeah.
We need to get our academies up to a higher level. We need rules that make you roster more Italian players. We need rules that make Italian youth play more minutes. What?
I'm looking at the rankings right now. You see me shaking my head?
Yeah.
Okay.
Who's top?
Number one is Belgium. With 1,828 points. Brazil, 1,823. France, 1,786. Argentina, 1,766. England, 1,755. And then Italy is 1,740. How?
Brazil just broke the record, didn't they? In South America for the most wins?
Yeah, something along those lines. Brazil looks really good. Listen, and that's the thing too. When we were talking about which teams are going to take this World Cup...
When we went through this over the summer, USA was ranked number 12.
They're 11th now.
No, they're 13th.
Oh, that makes sense. They lost to Canada.
Right.
They lost to Canada.
Okay. Yeah, I get that. But they dropped 5.17 points. I don't know how they calculate all this stuff, but...
Listen, all I know is that if you lose to a team that's not even in the top 25, you deserve to drop a few spots. Like, come on. World Cup qualifiers, they lost to Canada.
Yeah, it should have dropped a few more spots.
When's the last time Canada was even in a World Cup? Anybody know off the top of their head?
Yeah, I think 1998, 1994, something like that.
Wasn't 1998 the Euros? No, 1998 was the World Cup.
Yeah.
2000 was the Euros.
Yeah, it's been a while. But they have a pretty good squad. They got a kid there that plays for Byron.
Was it Alfonso Davies?
Yeah.
So
he's
decent. Australia is struggling at the moment to qualify.
They're always a team that they're a hard team to play once they're in the tournament.
Once they're in there.
But it's not like they have any big name players.
But they just work hard, don't they?
Yeah.
They give everything.
They grind you down.
Yeah.
How about, did you guys watch the Senegal Egypt game yesterday?
Yes, sir.
No, I didn't. Anthony was there.
Yeah, I watched that. I watched the.
How crazy was that?
What happened with the penalty?
Salah Which missed. One? The Salah, first. The
you put
first
it over the bar.
Four penalties. We're miss.
Well, hold up. Okay. First of all, they were taking penalties in what seemed like a nightclub.
Imagine
strobe lights at the nightclub.
You could visibly see people sitting there with lasers.
The lights going on? They said he got the
lights.
You
could see people visibly in the stands with these green lasers pointing at the Egypt players.
Yeah, it was bad.
I don't know how they don't ban this stuff.
I thought it was bad.
In what?
When you walk in, they got to do a search or what?
When's the last time you went to a game in Europe, not England? Because England actually does take security measures. Yeah. When's the last time you went to a game in Europe, though?
Never.
They don't care.
That
man.
Wasn't in Europe. That was in Senegal.
Even worse.
Yeah, there's no checking going on there.
I think this is going to get out of control. You watch. It's going to end up getting out of control. And they're going to have to start doing something like banning the fans from going to these games. You know, literally, these lasers were pointed at their eyes.
I mean, that can't be allowed, can it? No. I mean, there must be a rule about that.
Bring back the Vuvuzelas, get rid of the lasers.
Yeah, they were good, though.
Yeah, I like the Vuvuzelas. But here's the thing. If you're FIFA, do you take a stand now and kick Senegal out?
Or you could make them retake the penalties.
You could.
Neutral venue.
Yeah, that's a good idea, actually. Send them an email.
We from Sava FC believe that you should. Nah, it's just tough, man. I mean, who wasn't it? It was in England, actually. Remember during the Euros against Schmeichel?
That's where it started.
Right. That was the Denmark game, right? The semifinals. England fans did it to the...
No, they did. You're making this up? We wouldn't do that.
Oh, see, the thing is, if we were recording a podcast in the 1980s or a radio show, you could make the claim that we're making this up. But the beauty of the internet is you can pull everything up today. So we're not making this up.
It was there.
I watched the Poland-Sweden game, which was exciting. Poland made it through.
They always make it through, Poland.
Yeah. I was kind of hoping to see Ibra be out there against Lewandowski a little bit longer, but it is what it is. He's old.
Poland?
They have a good team.
Oh,
they have good players.
But they never do well once they get there.
Right. And that's what I don't understand. It's the qualifying rounds, right? They look like they're so good and they can do so well, but then they get to the game and it's just like...
They did struggle. They did struggle against Sweden. They did.
Sweden is a tough team in general because they're just built like trees.
Yeah.
They're all tall.
They're a decent team.
Yeah. But even that, they're just physical. And a lot of times, like we were just talking about Australia, when you're a physical team, they grind you down. Like, it just makes the game a lot harder. You can't impose your play style on those types of teams. And that's what's hard about them. But Lewandowski, Zieliński, they have Szczęsny in goal.
Yes.
I mean,
they got a pretty good team.
Who do they have defensively? Is Gleick on that team? Gleick's on that team. Who else? I don't remember the lineup fully off the top of my head.
I can't think off the top of my head.
They got a good squad.
There's enough players there to do something.
Listen, I told Ant yesterday when we were talking about all these teams, I was like, listen, Senegal won, Napoli player on there, Koulibaly. Poland won, they have Zieliński, Milik, who's a former Napoli player. Like, I want all these Napoli players to do well. The one I wanted to do the best, though, Elmas against Portugal. Obviously, that didn't happen.
It didn't work out that well.
Could you imagine what it would have been like if North Macedonia had beat Portugal?
Yeah, I mean, that would have been crazy. Oh my God.
Well, here's my question. Do you think Portugal pulled back? Do you think Portugal could have unleashed on them and didn't?
No, I think Portugal played their game.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go back and watch it.
They probably got to two of them. That's it.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, that they went to two and then dropped back. I didn't get a chance to watch it. I was more interested in watching those two other games than the Portugal-North Macedonia game.
Italy-Macedonia.
I mean,
Macedonia really had no chance.
You know what Macedonia reminded me of out there? They reminded me of a 2005 MLS team. Whenever they got in trouble, they kicked the ball out of bounds.
Yeah.
Or actually, like, you know.
That was their cup final winning that.
Yeah.
Any views on that?
No, I'm depressed again.
Okay.
Well, USA's playing tonight. They should qualify for the World Cup. All they have to do is Costa Rica, I believe. Do you remember?
Yeah, it's Costa Rica.
Tough game.
It is. They'd have to lose by 6 points in order not to qualify. So they could probably forfeit and still qualify.
You say this, yet somehow tonight the USA is going to lose by 7 goals and we go to and we have to do the playoffs. Like,
and then FIFA is definitely going to use the repêchage. I think that's how you pronounce it. It's some rule that allows a team to come back into the World Cup if they didn't qualify due to this, that, and to happen.
Let me stop you for a second. You guys got to explain to me. Okay. The whatever you called it, the repêchage or pajar, whatever. To legend, right?
No.
No. Hear me out. Let me finish. The English invented the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
The English, by legend.
Yes.
The Italians perfected it at one point, is what they say, right?
Okay. All right.
How the hell do the French get to make all the rules and money off of this?
I don't know.
Where did the English and the Italians go wrong that the French are making the rules?
They might have handed off some pastry recipes and they're like, okay, you can have the rules.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here and I'm like, repêchage or exactly FIFA. I'm like,
it's French.
Paper bags full of money being given over.
That's right. No, give it back to the English. The Italians don't deserve anything right now, so give it to the English.
So you still think you're going to get through that door?
Huh?
Still think you're going to get through that door?
What door?
If the Ukraine don't make it.
I don't believe in that. Listen, if anything, Ukraine's going. If they qualify, they're going.
So what happens is, I was reading about it last night. So Ukraine has to qualify for the World Cup. And if by time the World Cup happens, Ukraine can't make it and has to withdraw there, then that's the situation. But I think that Ukraine...
Was that UEFA?
That was FIFA. They're texting me now, talking about...
We just lost our FIFA sponsorship. Sorry, guys.
Ukraine would have to withdraw, and then they would allow the next top-ranked team that didn't qualify in. But I think if Ukraine qualifies, they're going to figure out a way to make sure Ukraine makes it to the World Cup, just for morale and whatever reasoning.
I'm going to be honest. I think you give FIFA more credit than they're due. No. I really don't think they control
I do give them more credit because what they care about is the money. So they want Ukraine to fall out of it. So then they can bring a team that's going to bring them more money at the end of all of this.
I honestly don't think so, because I think what they care about is that initial money for the bids, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, we know Russia and Qatar were...
Yeah.
They were bought. Okay,
yeah.
FIFA was bought to have the World Cup in those two places. That's the money that they cared about. And then the other money that they care about is what the event produces, right? We always say, oh, this World Cup had the worst television ratings it's had in years. FIFA don't care. They got paid to give Fox that contract, right? So, your television rating sucks. That sucks for you, Fox. You didn't promote the World Cup.
It'll all fall back, because then you're going to have companies like Fox, ABC, ESPN. They're not going to want to televise your product because you can't put anything good out there.
Here's the beauty about the World Cup, though. No matter who's bidding to televise it, they're never going to say that it's the World Cup's fault, because they understand how big the tournament is. They're just going to chalk it up to the other media company doing a bad job with it. And perfect example is Serie A, right? The company that owned rights to Serie A to televise them last year did not do a good job with them. CBS took them over this year, and it's exploded, has it not?
Yeah.
They're doing a phenomenal job with it. Same thing is going to apply with the World Cup. So it doesn't matter if it's actually the World Cup that's doing well.
It's how you present it.
Right.
Yeah,
it's
right.
It's how
right.
you present it.
No, I get it.
Time for a break. Did I blow your mind?
Yeah, you blew my mind.
Okay. We'll be right back.
Antonio, do you know what time it is?
No.
It's tea time with Ben.
It's always nice to have tea time.
I wish I would have never started it. We should have made it coffee time with Tone.
Oh, we're going to break a couple of biscuits up, a couple of bourbons. Be all right.
So, Ben, let's talk about the national team over in your neck of the woods. I think they're pretty strong. I think they have a good chance. What do you think?
Oh, we have a great chance. We have strong players all the way through.
All the way through.
Even the goalkeepers are all strong now. Yeah.
You got guys like Harry Kane, Saka, Grealish,
Harry Kane
Mount.
Has actually found some form there.
He has. But here's my thing. England is always pushed in these major tournaments, right? Like, yep. They have a backing behind them. And they do have talent, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying they don't. But they always fall short. Why?
Because maybe the manager's not good enough.
Maybe, but also too, I don't think they've had talent like this in decades.
No.
I mean, we've had the golden generation.
Yeah, there's...
So how long ago was that?
We're talking 10 years ago.
No, yeah, that was in the 2000s.
Not far.
That was when you had Beckham, Rooney,
Gerrard,
right.
Scholes.
That best England teams I've ever watched play.
So a decade, not decades.
But what they're claiming is everyone else had the golden generation at the same time. Italy had a golden generation. Brazil had a golden generation.
I don't know about Italy being in a golden generation. I mean, yes, okay.
You've had.
But if you think about the players that we won the 06 World Cup with,
yes.
With the squad that England showed up to play with.
No, England should have won something by now. They've had the teams, they've had the players.
And this gets me to my point, how we were just talking about, the World Cup, media companies will find a way to... Is England way too favored in the media?
Yes.
This unrealistic expectation for the team?
They always expect them to. Apart from the last Euros.
Right.
Where they said nothing in the World Cup before. Every year before that, hammered, they should be winning it.
That's a lot
players
of pressure.
Players didn't come back when they lost.
Right.
Yeah.
And recently, at least, a lot of these teams for England have been younger.
Yeah. And the fans used to get on the players when they used to play for the clubs and everything else. But now the fans are all in it together.
Right.
Which is the first time. It was making a big difference.
I mean, I'm looking at this.
Just read off the players. I mean, I'm looking at this roster. Yeah, it's stacked.
It's unbelievable.
And you got players that can't even make the roster.
I'm going to list a few more. Raheem Sterling, Ben White, Jordan Pickford, Calvin Phillips, Declan Rice, Trent Alexander-Arnold, Luke Shaw, Jadon Sancho, Aaron Ramsdale, Kyle Walker-Peters.
Hold up. Tammy Abram got left off?
No. No, he was I haven't gotten left. There yet. I haven't gotten there yet, dude. Trippier, Mings, Lingard, Stones, Abraham, Walker, Reece James, Chilwell.
Saka.
Rowe.
I love Reece James. I'm not a fan of any English player, but I love Reece James.
Tomore. Yeah. I mean, I'm leaving out names. I'm just skipping over names. You know what I mean? It's insane. It's insane.
But go pull up Brazil's roster right now, and you can do the same thing.
Neymar, Rafinha, Vinny Jr., Coutinho, Antony, Alves, Silva, Allison. I get it, but it loses me. It loses me at the seventh player. Okay, there's Firmino, and then you got a guy that should have retired 10 years ago. Hulk.
Hulk's still in it. Yeah, Alves still in it. I mean, that's speeding up some problems.
I don't know if you're looking at the Hulk isn't in it. To my understanding, you might have pulled up an outdated roster.
No, it's Google, and I pulled it up about 5 minutes ago.
We're gonna take a look real quick.
Silva's on the team too. Thiago Silva.
Yeah.
He's old. But that's the point I'm trying to make is that all the guys I named.
England are stacked all the way through.
Oldest guys that I named is Harry Kane and Maguire.
And Walker. And that's it.
And I didn't even say Maguire's name. Not that, you know, we should because, you know, I've seen some.
He's had a bad season, yeah. But he does well for England.
Yesterday, this is how they lined up. And it's not even their strongest team, in my opinion, all right? Richarlison up top. Coutinho, Paqueta, and Antony in the midfield. Guimarães and Fabinho as the defensive mids. Telles, Militao, Marquinhos, Alves on defense with Alisson as their goalkeeper. Guys, to me, that's a great team.
Not bad. Not bad. They got some players there.
Who was their winger?
Their which side?
Left.
Their left was Coutinho.
Right? Yeah, he's not playing as well as Antony. He used to.
Where was Martinelli?
Martinelli was on the bench. He actually did end up getting into the game, though.
Did he come on?
Yeah, Martinelli came on, Arthur came on, Rodrigo came on. I mean,
Arthur Cabal?
Yes.
Okay.
No. Arthur Melo, Juventus' midfielder, not Cabral. But that's what I'm saying. They have the players. I mean, you guys know how I feel about Fred.
He does well, actually. It's a good season.
He's on that team.
Yeah.
So.
You got Neymar as well.
Casemiro. Imagine Casemiro's on the bench for this team.
At training, Neymar's doing acting lessons.
He probably is. He's already getting ready, isn't he? Well, he's probably got the diving ball there.
Oh, my God. And that's the thing. You're right. They won 4-0 yesterday, and Neymar wasn't even on the bench for this game. Not even there.
They played Bolivia.
So what? Italy played North Macedonia. Yes. Don't give me that.
North Macedonia. Listen, hold on a second. We didn't even talk about that in the first half. Mancini's formation against North Macedonia was literally seven defenders and three attackers.
What game did you watch? Because that's not the game that I watched.
I don't know. Didn't they have three center defensive midfielders in the middle?
But they all pushed up. They just couldn't finish.
Yeah, but
you can't.
I told you before, defensive. Always been defensive.
And then he changes it up.
Oh, and you want to make fun of Bolivia, okay? Guess how many shots.
I didn't make fun. I just said it was Bolivia.
Yeah. But guess how many shots they took on that weakened Brazil team? 16. That means they played well enough to move the ball up the field at least 16 times, whereas North Macedonia only did it to Italy twice.
Jamie's boy scored yesterday. Bruno.
Don't like him anyway.
No one talks about Bruno.
No, we don't talk about him. No.
Nobody talks about Italy. That's what we should start going with. Hold up. Just to clarify, we were talking about Brazil. The Bruno you're talking about is Portuguese.
No, Bruno
Guimarães.
Oh,
from Newcastle.
I thought you were talking about
Bruno Fernandes. Yeah, no.
My fault. Oh, I didn't even realize Guimarães scored.
Yeah.
No, he's going to be a good player.
He is going to be. Yeah. But this is what I'm saying. Think about the roster Brazil played with yesterday, and it's not even their full starting lineup. And like I said, I didn't see Hulk on there. But even if Hulk does end up playing for this Brazil team, right? He still brings something valuable to the team. He's got years of experience. He still has that physicality, mentality, speed. So
it's going to be interesting. Well, can't it be a good place? Just shame you're not there.
Listen.
Oh, we're talking about
South America. Is that where you're going?
No, I was going to go on about Wales.
We'll go to them in a second. But we're in South America. Let's stay there for a second. It's Messi's last World Cup.
Theoretically.
Maybe.
Theoretically.
We'll see.
Last one was meant to be his last World Cup.
Argentina.
Two World Cups ago was his. I remember he retired from the national team.
Argentina looks good as well. They have a decent team.
They've always looked good and not done anything.
Because I think in the past, they always looked to feed the ball to Messi and then sit back and watch. I think this is a different team. I think they've learned from their mistakes. So you see what happens. They got a good team.
What I like about Argentina's team this year is that it's one of those teams that isn't expected to do much, right?
Yeah.
If you look at their lineup right now, solid players, but not the superstars that we've been accustomed to over the years.
Right.
You know, like Messi playing with Milito Agüero, who used to be in the midfield for them, the number 10. Why can't I remember his name right now? Oh, I'm drawing such a blank. But anyway, a younger Di Maria on the wings.
With the long blonde hair is what you're talking about, right?
But I don't remember the midfielder's name, though. Rodrigo? No.
No. I know.
I think it started with an R. Either way, defensively, too. They have some solid defensive players, but not players that we're hearing mentioned worldwide, right?
Yeah.
Finally, the pressure's off of them. The fizzle about Messi is starting to die down, right? Yep. They just won a Copa America. They should be being talked about nonstop right now.
But you don't hear about it too much, do you?
Because of what Messi's doing at PSG, which is nothing.
Yeah.
I think this is culminating for the perfect storm of Argentina to finally be able to make a run because there's no pressure on them.
It'll be interesting.
That's what it seems like to me. They remind me a lot of that 06 Italy team. That's what this Argentina team reminds me of.
I'm surprised my cousin Arturo Valenti's not on the team.
Is he any good?
Plays for Parma. Said he'd be.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember you were mentioning that.
He's not my cousin. But.
So he should be on the team there.
Exactly.
Arturo. Bro, his name's Lautaro.
I said Larturo.
It's Lautaro.
Whatever. You say tomato, I say tomato.
You two again, eh?
No, Larturo. I'm like, he has a cousin named Arthur? I'm like, where did that happen?
But the best, I'm looking at this roster for Argentina. There's one guy. There's a pitcher. Matias Suel. He's just sitting in a recliner. That's his picture.
Getting ready for the game. Relaxing. While we talk about players relaxing, we should go on about Gareth Bale.
Oh, I heard he likes to relax.
He scored two goals this week to get him into the playoff final.
Yeah. Is that because he doesn't like to practice on Fridays?
Well, I did hear. Yeah. Jermaine Defoe was talking on the radio saying he's a great guy and everything else, but every Friday he'd always ever complain and said, oh, something's wrong. I need a massage. He said, but on the Saturday, he'd always play. And he'd go and score, go on everything else.
But hold up. So he would need this massage after not practicing all week?
He'd go there and say, oh, my hamstring's a little tight. Well, my calf's a little tight. And he'd just go in, have a massage, and then go home. Well, didn't actually go home. Where do you think he went?
Either the pub or the club?
Golf.
Really?
Yes.
That makes sense. I mean, if he's going by himself, he could relax, calm down.
Did you ever see that flag he put?
No, I didn't.
When he put Wales, golf, Real Madrid.
Oh, my goodness.
No wonder Real Madrid hates him and wants him out,
And Jermaine Defoe was saying he actually bought himself like you can play the golf at home.
A driving?
The simulator.
Simulator.
Oh.
The one I went to last week, like, it was tons of fun. If he's got that in his house, I would never leave my house.
Right. But let's be honest, though. Wasn't golf invented in that neck of the woods? Wales, Scotland area?
I would imagine so, with the amount of grass.
I don't know the history, but I know it was the gentleman's game. And at the time, anything revolving UK, they were considered the gentleman. So it had to come from somewhere in that area.
Yeah.
Listen, Wales, we saw them in the Euro. They could be a thorn in people's side. And if Gareth Bale is in form, I don't care if he doesn't practice for the next 6 months.
If you see his free kick is unreal.
It's dangerous.
Right. But for whatever reason, with Real Madrid, he doesn't seem to be doing... I'm starting to believe these guys that are older, right? Like Bale, is just doing what Aubameyang did. He's not enjoying Real Madrid anymore.
He wants to go somewhere else and revive.
But all he's doing, he's running down his contract. He's on $600,000 a week.
Right. God.
Who wouldn't do that?
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, he's not going to walk away to another club and get $200,000 a week. It makes no sense.
Right. So let me run down this contract. When they don't want me anymore, I'll go somewhere else and I'll play.
Right.
But he's always done it in big games for him.
He's turned up
in Champions League.
He has always turned up. Although the last game was all Benzema.
Oh, no, I mean in the finals that they won.
Yeah.
So I don't understand why they stopped playing him. But maybe they wanted to get him off the books.
But talking about Wales, there's a chance of us seeing a Wales-Scotland game. Is that correct?
Oh, that is true, yes. If
that's
Scotland beat the Ukraine.
That's going to be the game of the summer to watch, probably, if that happens.
Yeah, it'll be in June, wouldn't it? That would be massive. It'll probably have 80,000 people.
Probably.
I don't remember, but was Scotland in the Euro Cup?
Yes.
They were, right?
And they drew with England.
That's how I remember hearing about them. So they actually could have a chance at going to this World Cup.
Oh, no, they're a good team as well.
Okay.
Like, it's not all done and dusted.
But again, Scotland's one of those teams that you just don't hear much about, right? Like Denmark, obviously, we're hearing a ton about Denmark. But I would say, a Scotland could be just as strong, if not stronger, than a Denmark. Yeah. They just don't have that one key player.
Scotland has good players. They have guys like Robertson and McTominay, Tierney. They have, and Bale.
No,
Bale's Wales.
I'm sorry. Yes. This game could be pretty exciting.
No, and I get that, but what I'm saying is, like, Scotland's players, not one of them...
They don't have a superstar.
Right.
Right.
They're not renowned worldwide.
Ben, correct me if I'm wrong. Is it McTominay the one that's... He's a vicious player, isn't he?
Center midfield,
Yeah.
But they've got some good players here.
No, when I mean vicious, I mean, like, violently following people all the time. Right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the school of Scottish football.
The
Scotsmen have always been like that. Ben, I have to say one thing, though. And obviously you're not like this. But I had a buddy, right? After Italy lost, he texted me. He's an English guy.
Mm-hmm.
He texted me and he goes, "Is it too early to say it's coming home?" What's your take on the statement, it's coming home?
I don't have much comment on that. It's been going on for now for the last few World Cups, ever since that song was brought out. So they always bring it back now.
It
gets all the fans, supporters all galvanized together.
Okay.
So that's why they do it.
You are right, Ben. It's not like your buddy. Because I had to text Ben 2 days later. I go, "How come you haven't texted me to break my stones yet?"
I was waiting for the podcast. I loved it. This is the best thing ever that's ever happened.
I was thinking maybe he was depressed too because he wanted a rematch in the final.
No, I would love you guys to get there so we could beat you in the final.
Right.
Plus, you want the big teams there at the final.
Right. That's the thing with Italy. If they do make it, they usually tend to be dangerous, but... I don't know.
I just hope Southgate doesn't decide that when they do get to the final...
He has decided now, though. He needs an extra player, an attacking player
on the team. Because he doesn't want to play Italian-style soccer in the final again.
Playing two holding midfielders. So we don't have enough going forward sometimes against the better teams.
But the two holding midfielders that he's deploying right now, who's he using?
Rice and Phillips.
And not a single one of them is going box-to-box?
Rice could go box, but they just screen the back.
That's not smart for the team that England has.
No.
He's finally admitted
he needs to get an extra player in there.
So who's he looking at?
Oh, he didn't say. He just said...
Who would you look at?
I'll have to have a look and go through this.
All right. You got some homework for the next episode.
Homework, yeah.
I'll just
stick Rice in there to hold.
Just one? Yeah.
You don't need to. No.
Learn from Italy's mistakes.
Yeah. And then you got more to attack with. We've got decent players, so should be able to play with one.
Exactly.
Unless you're playing, like, I don't know, Brazil or something, then you may need two. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
May need three.
May do. Do you know what I mean?
I'm being sarcastic.
Okay. Yeah. It's a different ball game, but I'll go with one.
Look.
Who's going to start keeper, you think?
Oh, he'll stick with Pickford.
Will he?
Because he's never let him down.
Hold up.
I mean, I'm not his biggest fan, but I don't think he'll change.
I think Pickford's a clown, because...
I think it's so as well. But he'll stick with... No, it's not me.
No, I'm with you. But what I'm saying, though, is I will give Pickford credit on one thing. For Everton, he's a clown.
He's a clown. He's useless.
But when it comes to the national team, I don't know what it is. Like, if he could play for the national team only for the rest of his career, he'd be one of the best goalkeepers in the world. It makes no sense, man.
But every time you see him, you know there's going to be a mistake, like, for Everton.
Right.
England, no.
But for me, I would go with the one keeper that's got the most clean sheets out of the four you have on the roster. That's Ramsdale.
I think Ramsdale's doing really well. But you also need the experience of the international stage and everything else.
That's why you play him in the friendlies, to get the experience.
Unfortunately, he was injured two games.
But the experience he's going to get from a friendly is much different from the experience of playing in a final.
100%.
But you do need to get the experience if you need to step in.
And I think he's confident enough that if Ramsdale has to step in, he will be able to. I'm going to say one last thing before I end, you know, my part for the day. The reason I asked you about that, how do you feel about it's coming home, I went off, right? You can text me about Italy losing.
Yeah.
But give me 24 hours, right?
He
gave you a week and a day.
Yeah, and we're good. Look, we're laughing. We're talking. He did it within 5 minutes, right?
Yeah.
So I went off on him. And I said, you know, I gotta let you have it now. You guys got lucky once in 1966, before soccer was even widely televised or known about, right? And it didn't come to its home. It had a one-night stand with England, and it was so bad that it decided to never come back. So don't text an Italian who's won 4 World Cups telling them it's coming home. That's how I felt about it.
I mean, it was 5 minutes after they lost. At least you were home to endure the loss.
No, to be honest, I did think about it, but then I think myself, I wouldn't like it. Do you know what I mean? Right. There'd be no, like, nah.
I was on vacation with my wife, getting ready to order our dinner for the last night we were there. I have my phone on my lap while the waitress is walking up to take our order, and they score the goal. And I had this look like I just saw every ghost ever. And my wife said, "What's the matter?" I said, "They just lost." She goes, "What do you mean?" I asked the waitress to come back because I lost my appetite.
Well, you changed the Italian dinner to something else.
I apologize. I have to take off. I'm in a rush. Good talking to the both of you.
It's nice for you to turn up. We appreciate it.
I did go missing
at the beginning. So
I do what I can. When my country goes missing, I show up.
Thanks. Thanks for coming.
All right, guys.
We finally got rid of them. We can start talking about the Premier League again.
Oh, that's what we need to talk about. And yeah,
we got some interesting games coming up.
Yeah, we'll go through some of the games now. Liverpool play Watford.
If they win and Burnley beats Man City, they take the lead.
Even a draw.
Yes, right. That's right.
So that's going to be interesting.
But do you think Burnley can...
Like I just said, you just now, not a chance. But no. You never know, do you? Man City, they've dipped a little bit.
And they're fighting for... Burnley's fighting for...
They're fighting for their lives, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting. Leeds play Southampton. At the bottom there. I would imagine Leeds will get something out of the game.
Where are they right now? They're still in that...
There's a couple of points they won last time.
They're still in the 16th spot. They have 29 points. I think if they can win or tie, they're safe.
I'd go for that as well. Yeah, so that's a big game. So, now, let's talk about the other big game.
The two final games of the weekend.
We have West Ham playing Everton. Where are Everton right now?
Fighting for their lives.
Fighting for their lives. So that's a massive game. Tottenham play Newcastle. I'm expecting Newcastle do us a favour here.
I think they will. They're playing pretty well together.
Yeah, and they got all their players back.
And, you know, Bruno, I can't pronounce his last name to save my life. If Antonio was here, he'd correct me.
He'd rattle it off quite easy, wouldn't he?
We'll just call him Jamie's boy.
Yeah, Jamie's boy. There we go, Jamie. And then the biggest game of the weekend is Crystal Palace versus Arsenal.
Arsenal wins that.
Arsenal have to win.
They have to. Because if Tottenham wins, they'll be in the fifth spot.
And who do Man U play?
Doesn't matter. Does it?
I mean, they can still get top four. They play Leicester at home.
But they're at 50 points. So even if they win...
Yeah, I could see them drawing, to be honest.
They can. The best they could do is go to 5.
Yeah.
But there are some games that's... It's going to be interesting going forward. It's going
to be
forward.
Nice, yeah. Good to get the games back on again. So, what about Italy?
Serie A. I think the biggest game for Serie A right now is the Atalanta-Napoli game. Napoli has to win this to stay alive.
Oh, wow.
When I say stay alive, I don't mean like being relegated, meaning staying top two,
yeah.
You know, with Milan. Because Milan is playing Bologna, and... You know, as Antonio would say, Bologna is going to be a thorn in the side of Milan and do everything they can, especially now with their head coach had to withdraw because his leukemia came back.
Oh, right.
So they're going to fight for him, you know. So I can see Bologna beating Milan, to be honest with you.
Wow.
And if Napoli wins, then they'll take the top spot. Actually, they'll be tied for the top spot with 66 points.
It's getting down to it now, isn't it?
Yeah,
games are coming thick and fast.
Yeah, the one team that I'm a little sad to see leave is Venezia. I'm hoping that they could put some string of wins together and stay in Serie A for next year. Just get a couple American kids playing there.
Oh, nice.
American owner, you know.
Yeah.
They also have this fun stadium. I was telling Antonio yesterday, their stadium is literally surrounded by water.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it's in Venice. Oh, you know,
it's
small.
Yeah.
It's intimate, but. It's just cool the way it's situated,
cool
you know?
Stadium, yeah. How about Roma? Who are they playing?
Roma is playing Sampdoria. If they continue to play the way they're playing, they should be able to beat Sampdoria. Then you have Inter versus Juventus, which is, it's a pretty big game.
That's
there.
That's a big game, yeah.
You know.
Who do you think will win that one?
I think it's going to end in a tie.
That's a safe bet.
Yeah. I think it'll end in a tie. And really, that much of anything else going on. I think it's going to be a lot of, you're going to get a lot of whistles from the fans, from teams that have
the players
from the national team. You're gonna get a lot of whistles and boos. I think Insigne is going to have a hard time. One, because, you know, they didn't qualify to World Cup. And two, he's leaving. He's going to Toronto next season. So
yeah, when's he join Toronto?
I want to say July sometime. I think he takes a month off and then he goes.
Then he goes there.
Right. Well, there was a rumor that was going around that if Italy didn't qualify for the World Cup, Serie A was going to do a 20-team tournament here in the United States. So,
oh, wow. So that could happen.
That could happen now.
With all the players.
Yeah, because they don't want the players to be sitting around for 50-something days and not play. So at least if they're playing some tournament.
Yeah, warm weather over here.
They'll keep everybody warm and they'll put money in their pockets.
Yeah, but it'd be good to go and see.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Nice. Maybe they'll add Toronto FC into the mix so then they could just beat up on Insigne.
Which could well happen.
Other than that, I don't know if we have much more to discuss.
No, I think we look at this weekend and we come back.
That's right.
Check all the games.
We were supposed to have the president from Nocerina come on this week, but because of scheduling conflict, looks like we're going to push it out to next week. That's going to be fun.
Yeah, that'll be a fun time.
That's going to be good.
Questions going his way.
Yeah. So from myself, Antonio, who left 10 minutes ago.
Thank you very much.
We'll see you later.